welcome to the Empowerment Zone, everyone. My name is Lisa Robinson, founder and CEO of My Independence at Home. We are going to have a fabulous show today. As you know, March is Women's Month, so every show this month we've been highlighting phenomenal women in the Philadelphia region, and today is no exception. So today in studio we have Miss Sarita Roberts. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone, Sarita. I know you okay?
I'm just trying to catch my breath.
Oh, yes, she got a little turned around, so it's all good. So how are you this evening?
Well, this afternoon.
I guess it's not even this evening.
Good afternoon.
So yes, as I was telling our audience, we're highlighting phenomenal women.
Yes.
And that is you.
Oh, thank you.
So I'd like to start off by you just kind of telling everybody a little bit about yourself, your background, what you're currently doing, what you're passionate about, and what you wanted to share with the audience today.
Okay. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. My name is Sarita Roberts. Up a little more.
Yeah.
My name is Sarita Roberts. I am a nurse. Mm-hmm. I've been a nurse for about 19 years.
Okay.
During the pandemic, I started teaching CPR.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach CPR, AED training, as well as first aid training to individuals that have little to no medical experience, as mm-hmm. well as healthcare providers.
What is AED? What does that acronym stand for?
Automated External Defibrillator. So this is a device that mm-hmm. you would use on a victim that is in cardiac arrest.
Okay.
Cardiac arrest, you don't have a heartbeat.
Okay.
You're not breathing, or you're having abnormal breathing.
Okay.
You need to do CPR and immediately go find an AED and apply the AED. So this device, you're going to turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
First thing you're going to do, apply it. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is listen to the instructions, the prompts, and the device is going to analyze the victim
mm-hmm.
and will let you know if that individual needs to be shocked or not.
So it's like an electric current or something that goes
Correct.
Through?
Okay. Exactly.
To kind of restart the heart?
Yes.
Got it. Okay, continue.
Okay. What else? What am I passionate about? So my biggest passion at this time is teaching the community.
Mm-hmm.
There is, as you know, I do have baby Tyler.
For yes.
anybody who does not know, I have a couple of different CPR mannequins.
Mm-hmm.
One of my sets are baby Tyler and also CPR Taylor. They are
yes.
Warpoint.
They're famous on mannequins. Instagram.
Yes.
You know, they've gone rush, but all over the city.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yes.
they've traveled outside, weren't they?
Yes.
In Baltimore, everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Baltimore, DC. Yeah. Yes. We will be making it to New York. Oh, Atlanta.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Baby Tyler was at Invest Fest.
Okay. They getting around.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. So I'm very passionate about educating the mm-hmm. community. With that being said, there is a lack of education when it comes to life-saving
mm-hmm.
skills and knowing how to respond in an mm-hmm. emergency. You know, we're in March, February, just statistics,
mm-hmm.
African-Americans and Hispanics are less likely to receive CPR.
Okay.
Women are less likely to receive CPR than men.
Mm-hmm.
So it is of high priority that those group of individuals learn
mm-hmm.
CPR.
So that they can jump in.
Correct.
And help
correct.
Save a life.
It's very common to be scared. That mm-hmm. is, you know, the human emotion to be scared and not want to
Well,
respond.
It is scary. I mean, because if you're doing something on the mannequin, you know,
yes.
it's totally different
mm-hmm.
from actually, you know, seeing someone
mm-hmm.
with a wound or an injury
mm-hmm.
when you actually have to, like, get in there and pack a wound.
Exactly.
You know, it's different.
But that's why it's so important to trained.
I have the training.
You know, back to the mannequin that I have, CPR Teller. CPR Teller is a 3-in-1 mannequin. So you can practice the child, the male adult, and also the female adult. So the female adult has
breasts.
The anatomy of the woman, which a lot of men would say, like, I don't want to perform CPR because I don't want to be seen as I'm being inappropriate. When it comes to the AED, you do have to remove
the
person's clothing and as well as the bra. So, you know, some people may feel uncomfortable with doing that.
Right.
And I think with that particular mannequin, training, taking off the clothes, taking off the bra, applying the AED, that kind of helps that person get into the rhythm of, like, this is what I need to do in order to save this person's life. You know, as a healthcare provider, it's hard. It's hard to be standing over top of someone that is lifeless. And what you do within those seconds may either
save their life,
cause that person to not be here, or have them resuscitate them and give them another day.
Yeah.
So
now I know you have, I think it was last year, you were working on an initiative, Stop the Bleed. And I think you said you really started that in because of all the violence that was going on in the city, a lot of the shootings, and you wanted to educate the community about. So can you talk a little bit about Stop the Bleed, and are you still holding those sessions?
Yes, I'm still holding the sessions. I'm still actually going to get back into the rhythm of doing that again. Now, Stop the Bleed, it's not just for gunshots or someone that's been stabbed. It's for someone that's just been in the kitchen. They cut their finger. You know, grandma or mom falls down the steps, hits their head. They're bleeding from the head. You're in your tool shed, cut your arm off, a failed suicide attempt, a motor vehicle accident. Anytime you encounter someone that is having a life-threatening bleed, and I'm not talking about something that is going to be, you're going to use a Band-Aid. We're not using Band-Aids. I'm talking about pulsating blood coming from that person's body. You need to know what the skills and how to respond in that situation. So are you, does that person need just the whole pressure? Do you need to pack that wound, or also applying tourniquets? So it's a another lack of education in the community when it comes to Stop the Bleed as well. There are very few people that are aware of Stop the Bleed.
We enjoyed the course.
Yes.
I think everybody took it very seriously.
Yes.
We enjoyed the course. And I remember years ago talking about cuts. I had a, I cut myself with a knife. You know, you have the knife things or whatever, it's in there. And I couldn't get it out. I couldn't get it out. So, because I had hammered it in there, because it wouldn't go in all the way. So when I went to pull it out, I did like this. And my tip of my finger was just hanging there. So I ran across the hall, and my friend, she was like, let's get a paper towel. And it was just, like you said, pull, and it was just run. It was crazy. And I had to rush to the hospital.
Now imagine if you were cut somewhere else, a major artery. Another human response is just to run. And you're running and just bleeding out. You know, and a lot of times in my class, I have to, you know, break it down to people where, oh, I'll just call 911. Thank you for calling 911.
But what are you going to do?
So, you know, in this course, you're taught to become an immediate responder. So you're going to jump again. You're going to jump in and attempt to save that person's life. If that person is bleeding out profusely, a life-threatening bleed, that person may possibly have 3 to 5 minutes before they bleed out, and then they're no longer alive. And then once again, you got to start start CPR, because then they're in cardiac arrest.
Can you speak to a time where you had to actually do that And where? Well, let me ask you this: Have you ever been in a situation where you had to actually do that, and it wasn't in a medical, like it wasn't at a hospital?
Cardiac arrest. Mm-hmm. Or just, I have not.
No.
So most by the grace of God, yeah. I have not had to.
But you could do it, absolutely.
I would have to.
Yes.
Because it would just be like, mm-hmm. like I. Please don't put this on me. Don't put this on me. I have my gloves. I got my tourniquet.
You're ready.
Yes, I'm ready. This is the way I think about it this way. You know, a lot of people, and I want to be here because I want to get this out. As a healthcare provider, I know a lot of people think like, oh, you know, the doctor, the nurse is always going to be there and they can help. You don't know what type of nurse that person is.
Mm-hmm.
They may sit behind a desk all 8 hours out the day.
Right.
So they're not in that environment where they're doing CPR
mm-hmm.
As if versus a nurse or a doctor that's in the ED.
Right.
You know, you also have to think about there was a situation where there was a doctor on a plane, and I don't know if he had the conversation with someone and told them that he was a doctor. So when the emergency happened, they were expecting him mm-hmm. to get up.
Mm-hmm.
And he said no because he was on vacation, number one, and he had some adult beverages.
Okay.
So he was like, that's not
a liability.
Correct.
Right.
That's not going to work. You know, I don't know exactly what happened to him, but a lot of people, they will come straight out and say like, no, she a nurse,
mm-hmm.
you a doctor. No, like everybody has to be.
Right. There's different levels.
Understand yeah. the training that comes along with it. But it's not a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good feeling while you're in it. You want as many people there as possible that knows what they're doing, and you want help there immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But once you know that person is still alive when they leave
mm-hmm.
you,
mm-hmm.
it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
And you're just praying, like, please make it.
Now, I know when at the height of COVID, you mm-hmm. volunteered and you went to New York.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about that. Because those are some crazy times. And I remember us talking and you talking about what you were seeing. And, mm-hmm. and was that traumatizing?
Very traumatizing. That was my first time that I started therapy.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I started therapy. You know, it's still kind of hard to hear certain conversations about COVID
mm-hmm.
because I understand there's this myth and vaccines and X, Y, Z. But the reality is you weren't there.
Mm.
You weren't there when you walk into a room and you looking at somebody that looks just like you. And like, but they're attached to a vent.
Right.
And they're just looking at you like, I need help. And during that time, like, we had to keep all the doors mm-hmm. closed. I worked at this particular facility, and I think that was when it really started getting bad, where they were getting to the point, they were just bringing patients, and we didn't even know that they were coming.
Hmm.
So this one particular paramedic arrived
mm-hmm.
and was just sitting, the patient was sitting in the hallway, and we was like, we don't know who this patient is. We don't know how you even got up here.
Right.
And we don't have a ventilator.
Mm.
And there was no oxygen left.
Wow.
So they're running around screaming. Mm. And it clearly, this responder, like, completely, like, I couldn't even imagine, traumatized. Because they're the ones picking these individuals up. You know, I've worked all over the country during COVID. And there are places like on the West Coast that I heard that they weren't even,
right.
you called out for help. And they just never picked them up.
Wow.
They never got the opportunity to pick them up. And there were certain instances where they were allowing paramedics the opportunity to say like who gets to make it to the hospital or not. So it was a very traumatizing.
So where else did you, I know you were in New York. You went mm-hmm. to California.
I went to California. I was in Texas. We did I went to Atlanta. We did a field hospital
mm-hmm.
to try to take off some of the pressure from the outside hospitals.
When you say field hospital, so it was like an offsite?
We actually set up a straight up set up a hospital within
okay.
the Georgia World Center,
Oh, like the dome. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we took that dome and we, everything.
They did something like that with Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had to have like some makeshift type of thing right there.
Yeah, there were a couple of field hospitals I did because just to take the pressure off of the hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a lot of pressure.
I know you said it was traumatizing. Was there anything that happened during COVID when you were traveling that warmed your heart? Like, is there anything that happened like you thought this person wasn't going to make it and you were actually able to see them walk out the hospital?
Silence.
No.
Jeopardy
I
music.
I was not given that opportunity.
Oh, wow.
There was a lot of, especially like during the beginning, you know, there were very limited resources. And, you know, a lot of times as nurses, we try to, what's your happy place? Mm-hmm. So like, okay, well, do you want to call your mom? Do you have your aunt? They're died. Mm-hmm. You want to call? They're dead.
Mm-hmm.
You want to call? They're no longer here.
So they had nobody.
They all passed away. Wow. There were certain places where we were getting family member after family member after family member coming into the hospital. There were times where, like, no, I cannot feed you. Because if I take this oxygen off of you, you're going to start to desat, and you're not going to be here any longer.
Okay, what is desat? We don't know what that is.
So, desat. So, if you go into the hospital, you're short of breath. Mm-hmm. They're going to put a pause socks on you and check your oxygen level. So, if your oxygen level 90%, less than 90%. So a lot of these people during COVID, they were hitting up in the 80s. So you take the oxygen off and we were using multiple sources to keep those people oxygen up.
Okay.
So if we took it all for them to eat, which was going to take oxygen to they weren't going to make it, even going to the bathroom. Like, there were some people, like, you have to be on bed rest. Because, like, do you get up, get this person out the bed and have them, their oxygen go down and desat and have the cold? Or do we have them just stay in the bed and use the bedpan? Mm-hmm. So.
That's sad. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The Empowerment Zone. This is Lisa Robinson, founder and CEO of My Independence at Home. As I mentioned earlier, this is an all-women show. So another phenomenal woman just entered the studio. Dawn Harris is in the house. Keys and D's, baby.
Keys and D's, baby. Hi, Empowerment Zone family.
Dawn, welcome to the Empowerment Zone.
Thank you for having me back. I don't know why y'all keep putting up with me, but thank you. Thank you for inviting
me back.
Well,
tell us about Keys and D's.
Keys and D's Realty is your new favorite real estate brokerage.
Woo-hoo!
Based in Philadelphia. We are located right next to the airport. And we are a full-service real estate firm. We specialize in residential sales, which would include multifamily and some commercial mixed-use properties. So keep that in mind. We also specialize in representing and providing professional and exceptional services to both buyers and sellers.
Amen to that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Renters.
Yes.
So I include investors in the group of buyers, but just to be perfectly clear, we are investor friendly as well. And we can be reached at 610-616-0012. You can check us out online at keysanddeeds.com.
All right. Again, this is the Empowerment Zone, sponsored by My Independence at Home. We are hiring, everybody. If you are a personal care attendant, home health aide, certified nursing assistant, please come call us at 215-921-2277. You can walk in for an interview Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Yeah, have walk-in interviews?
Absolutely.
Oh, this is nice.
Listen.
What time?
Walk 9 to 5.
I could just wake up and go interview for a job.
Yeah.
I like it.
Get up.
And
if you follow the process, you could walk out of there with a case. You could be working within 24 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Monday through Friday.
Oh, wow.
Interviews. Wow. Yep. That was the 24-hour hold for. Is that such a complete background
check?
Yeah,
all of that kind
of
stuff. Okay. Yeah.
So I can't be a criminal.
You can. Well, we have to be careful. We have to be careful because you're putting people in you know, homes. So that's important.
Very good.
So, Sarita, tell us about this baby Tyler. I think you brought her in. Is that
my nephew Tyler? That's my niece Tyler. Tyler got hair today.
Yes, Tyler. Oh, she got a hat on and everything. Listen, oh my God. Yes. This is what should have been the one we did Facebook Live.
I'm gonna take a picture.
Oh, she is cute.
Why I said it's so important. Aww. Representation matters.
Yeah. Okay?
So something else is really important. There was a post on social media,
mm-hmm.
and there were a couple of individuals that were saying, you know, maybe if there were CPR mannequins that represented us and, you know, look like us, then maybe we would be more willing to do CPR. Mm-hmm. So guess what? We have a diverse.
Awesome. Let me see. Come here, Tyler.
First of all, baby Tyler. I wish y'all could see this outfit. Yeah,
she is
popping. She has on a knitted jumper.
Ooh, she has a pacifier.
That shirt came from Gymboree.
Hey, watch yourself. Listen.
Gymboree was fun. Let me come here. Let me hold her.
What'd she say?
She's over here breaking baby Tyler's neck.
Oh, Lord.
She's
tired.
Hold up. Let me tell you right now.
Hmm.
Don't start her up unless you're ready to do some CPR. Okay.
No, what's the purpose of baby Tyler? What do you use her for?
I use her to teach CPR, infant mm-hmm. CPR.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which, as you see, her size is mm-hmm. different than an adult. So her CPR would be a little different than what would be done on an adult.
You have to be careful of, like, their chest, right? Because it's so, you yes. can't press hard.
You have to be careful, but you also have to give adequate CPR.
Yeah.
Adequate chest compression. So that's something that's mm-hmm. really important. A lot of people would say, like, I don't want to push too hard, especially for an infant. Guess what? You may possibly break that individual's ribs,
mm-hmm.
but it's better for them to have broken ribs than to not be there anymore.
Yeah.
Correct.
I know when you came and we did the CPR on baby Tyler, mm-hmm. my fingers hurt.
Yeah.
That was hard.
And that's something, too. I'm going to do another, I'll probably do like
it's not
post on. There's two different ways to do CPR. Mm-hmm. So you can use the two fingers,
yes,
or you can go around the two hand method and go around the chest. And I feel like this is a little bit easier.
Oh, ooh. You didn't show me that.
Those
one.
Thumbs would
Listen,
be on fire.
That was just basic. That's why it's important to continue training.
Continue training.
Yeah, so
yes.
That was just, we were uh-huh. training very briefly, basic knowledge. So,
now,
yes, that's another.
I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot, and it's okay if I am and you can't answer. I'm so sorry. But how many infant deaths occur each year as a result of not receiving adequate CPR compressions? Or could have been prevented had people been trained for proper CPR measures?
I cannot tell you the exact percentage or okay. rate. I do not know that information. But what I can tell you from just personally watching, mm-hmm. I think it was like, I don't know, was it Clemson Park or somewhere? Mm-hmm. So that was like a long time ago. And mm-hmm. there was like a baby. I don't know if I told you the story. And mm-hmm. they were only up to the ankle. Mm-hmm. And they were, technically, they were drowning. Like an infant can drown mm-hmm. in, they can put their head in a bucket of water.
Right.
You would be very surprised of the parents that would stand there mm-hmm. in front of them and let them drown. Now, I'm mm-hmm. not saying they're doing this deliberately, but they just
they froze.
Get in shock and they're
right.
just, they start screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And you just pick them up and say, yeah, like,
right.
help them. So between personally seeing this and then also the amount of videos
mm-hmm.
of infants in cardiac arrest mm-hmm. and, you know, first responders having to come or police officers and start CPR, I would say it is a very big problem. Mm-hmm.
Have you done CPR on an infant before?
I have not done CPR on an infant.
Okay.
I know I'd be screaming.
Me too.
All the training in the world.
But that too. Like, that's what I'm saying. Training is so important. There's actually someone on social media. She has something called CPR rap. She's a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that her baby, whatever, I don't know if they were choking or cardiac arrest, but she froze. So if she said if it wasn't for her husband being here, mm-hmm. her child would not be here today. Mm-hmm. So she developed this device where you can like put it in the patient, in the person's mouth and match it up to the chest of how to give chest compressions and everything. But it's scary.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Scary, but when you train, it mm-hmm. makes it a little better. Even something as simple as calling 911, people do not do.
Mm. Yeah. Because we can say what we would do in mm-hmm, a situation, mm-hmm. but then when actually faced with it, like when I took the Stop the Bleed class, mm-hmm. listen, it was fun and all. You know, I did good with my compressions and the stuffing on that day.
Can you imagine actually having to pack a wound?
No, absolutely not.
A gaping wound? Can you imagine?
I mean, there's going to be the trauma. So assuming that we're talking about, right, a gunshot wound. Mm-hmm. So you already have the shock. Mm-hmm. of having witnessed a shooting mm-hmm. and then you got to pull yourself together. I mean, I don't know what I would do in that situation.
But your adrenaline might make you do the right thing.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. You know, I won't know until I'm there. Or my adrenaline may make me pass out. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
Well, the other day I got a call from a caregiver and she got to a participant's home. And usually the participant gets up and opens the door, right, to let her in the apartment. Well, she didn't. Mm. She could hear moaning, and she couldn't get in the door.
Kick the door in.
So the participant was able to drag herself to the door and unlock it. Mm. So she's calling me, freaking out. I said, well, did you call 911? She said, no, I'm trying to get her dressed. I said, call 911. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, there's vomit and da-da-da. I said, call 911.
Right. You don't want
she
that.
Said, well, she has a life alert. I'm going to push the button. I said, call 911.
Yes.
Like, call. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm going to call you back in 3 minutes. So I called her back. Did you call? Well, I was still getting her dress. Oh, I said, God.
Clothes right. don't matter.
I said, that you doesn't matter what she on has them. On. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter.
Right.
So the next time I called, the paramedics were there. Mm-hmm. And she's in the hospital. They admitted her. I knew mm-hmm. they were going to admit her. Mm-hmm. I knew they were going to admit her.
She didn't call. There are
I don't believe she called us. Ugh. Why you call here
it's
first?
It's a human response yeah. where people will do that. Mm-hmm. I've had situations.
And she sent a text. Can you call us an emergency?
Oh, my Lord.
I'm like, what?
This is why also my nurse boot camp, we're going through certain I told them, no text. Mm-hmm. Absolutely no text. You should mm-hmm. be not sending any text in any type of emergency. Mm-hmm.
And on the flip side, I felt good because this is someone who needed help. If she didn't have a caregiver that day, she lives alone. Mm-hmm. If she didn't have a caregiver that day, what would have happened?
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is why it's so important to be on time for your shift. So mm-hmm. and not be a no-call, no-show. So luckily, this caregiver is really, really good. So she's always on time. But for people to be a no-call, no-show, they don't understand how critical that can be. Mm-hmm. That people are waiting for you. Anything could happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anything could happen. So I was just so happy that this caregiver showed up on time, mm-hmm. that we were in my independence at home was in the house to provide the care. 215-921-2277. But I felt good about that because this particular participant has been with me since 2014.
Mm-hmm. From the mm-hmm. beginning.
From the beginning.
From the beginning.
From the beginning. So yeah. I felt really good about that. Mm-hmm. And that reminds me, I need to send her a thank you card.
Maybe this may be an opportunity as well to mm-hmm. just put it out there in the atmosphere. You know, like, in case of an emergency, this is what we need to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do not call the office.
We tell them that. And I think mm-hmm. she was just panicked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She was panicked.
Yep. And again, you know,
you just never know.
In that situation,
I said, "Are you okay?" She was like, "Not really." Mm-hmm. She said, "I didn't expect to come and hear and see that, mm-hmm. and then hear her moaning and like trying to, can you get to the mm-hmm. girl? You better kick."
But mm-hmm. I just tell you, what you want is help.
Yeah,
I want help. I need help. Yeah. But there are situations that I've heard where someone has. Oh, they passed away. And I'm like, oh, and you know, human mm-hmm. side of me. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. You know, my condolence. And then
the nurse side of me. Mm-hmm.
So how long did they do CPR? And it's like, they didn't. Mm-hmm. They called a family member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is seconds. Mm-hmm. Soon as you realize that person is in cardiac arrest, you need to immediately start chest compressions. You need to activate your emergency response and start chest compressions. If you are in an environment where you can go find an AED, that's what you need to be doing as well. But you need to act immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, it's every single thing that you do is of high priority to save that person's life.
I would like to give a quick shout out to Advocate First Health. Thanks to Advocate First Health, I now know what an AED is. I had no idea what it was. And she did a post on Instagram last year sometime where it said, where are you spotting an AED or something like something, a question that you ask, how many do you see in a day or something like that. And now I see them
everywhere. You pay attention?
I do. I wasn't aware
of it before. I was like, AED?
The awareness, right.
I think it's, because I actually looked it up. They're supposed to be like every 100 feet in the airport. I don't know if that's correct, but I think that's what it is.
I mean, I see them all over the airport now. I never paid attention to them before.
In California, they, like, on, I be looking. Mm-hmm. They, AED, AED, AED. Mm-hmm. But it's very important.
I have a question, too. Mm-hmm. So, do you believe there's a fear of helping people because of the blood and bodily fluids passing and you know, that type of thing? Do you think there's that is a problem too?
I can't necessarily. My personal opinion, I think, is due to lack of education. Mm-hmm. I've asked some of my friends, like, what exactly are your children being taught in school? Because I know as I got older, some of our classes, let's be honest, they should not have been. We should not have. I just felt like it was more of just a, let's just put them on a class because we need a extra class to give them a grade in. Like, CPR should be in school. Mm-hmm. CPR training, stop the bleed training. And it's not something just because I'm doing it. Like, it is of high priority. Like, I feel like a lot of people just, they're not educated on what to do.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the violence that takes place in schools, too, nowadays. I mean,
lots of violence.
Could be saving lives. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. High priority. Mm-hmm. Hands only CPR.
What is it?
Hands only CPR.
What does that mean?
Are you aware what hands only CPR?
Oh, we about to learn something new.
Hands only.
There are a lot of people.
Oh, well, so you don't put your mouth on there. No mouth to mouth.
Correct. So there are some people, I made a post about this as well, where they'll say, well, I'm not going to do CPR because I'm not putting my mouth on their mouth. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you can just do chest compressions. You can call 911 and you can just do chest compressions, hands only CPR. So you'll activate your emergency response, brother, and be intentional. You, Lisa, go call 911, go find an AED. Dawn, go find an AED. You call 911, you go find an AED.
I'm on it.
If you're by yourself, you're going to pick up your phone, call 911, put the phone down, put it on speaker, and start those chest compressions, and don't stop.
You know what? I need some more classes. I need some more classes.
Of course.
Because
it doesn't stop.
I remember witnessing a car accident. This was years ago. And
it's scary.
It was scary. Mm-hmm. And when I ran up to the car, I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. But she had slammed into this telephone pole and it spun her body around. Mm-hmm. So instead of her sitting this way, she was laying across both seats. Thank God her driver's window was open because her head would have went through that window. Mm-hmm. But when I got to her, both of her ankles were just because when she hit the telephone pole and her feet were at the pedals, the pressure tore her ankles up. Mm. And she kept saying, are my legs okay? They're burning. I said, your legs are fine. Your legs are fine. But nobody, this is before cell phones. Mm-hmm. So
now hold up. She gonna say years ago, like we talking, I'm thinking 3-4 years ago. You gonna say before?
No, I think, did we have a cell phone? I can't remember.
Hold on, wait a second.
No.
Hold up. I'm listening to the ankles.
I'm lying. I had a cell phone. What did you say?
I'm listening to the, okay, so we had a cell phone.
Yeah, I had a cell phone. Okay. So I was telling her, we had a cell phone. But I was telling her that her legs were fine because I didn't want her to panic because she kept saying, right, my legs are burning. Mm-hmm. I said, no, they're not. There's nothing wrong with your legs. So then the lady from across the street. Anyhow, everybody was like, call 911, mm-hmm. call 911, call 911. But luckily, when I talked to her daughter, her mother was an epileptic and wasn't supposed to be driving.
Oh.
And she had a seizure while she was driving. Mm. So that, because when I was behind her on the high, it was on Westchester Pike, mm-hmm. the car just did like this. We were driving, that car just said, mm-hmm. but like mm-hmm. for no reason. Mm-hmm. I stopped and I ran up the hill in mm-hmm. my heels. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But I stayed with her until they had to bring the jaws of life. Mm-hmm. out to get her out. And she was like, where's that angel that was with me? Mm-hmm. Where's that angel? So mm-hmm. I stayed and they took her up in a helicopter. I finally found her. They saved her legs. And her family was like, thank you so much for being there with my mom. Mm-hmm. But I wish I had known more, but I think I did all right. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know what to do because her ankles were, I thought they were going to amputate her. Her like, just the pressure, it looked like a can opener. Just like,
that is crazy.
Both of them.
Yeah, they would have been airlifting me too.
Yeah.
I would have been passed out.
You mean you as me?
Yes.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Adrenaline
sometimes
will make you do things that you may not think mm-hmm. you would ever do.
Right.
Who would have thought I would jump out the car and run up there?
Yeah. Just have to be in that situation, I guess, to know how you'll truly respond.
Yeah. Is Tyler on the mic?
Well, I'm it. Let me take the pacifier out. Yes, she's, I guess so. just watch baby Tyler.
Okay, all right. But it's to bring the mic down a little bit so we can hear her.
There we go. There we go.
Oh, my Lord.
Please get some pictures of this.
CPR. Okay, baby Tyler wants everybody to learn CPR.
Yes. So, Dawn, what's going on in the real estate market?
Oh.
Don't you have a brand new client, a brand new investment property owner?
Look at that there. Okay, so Empowerment Zone, listen up. I am pleased to announce that Ms. Lisa Robinson has purchased her very first multifamily investment property.
Woo! Yay!
Amazing
yay,
indeed.
Yay.
And the plan is to offer affordable housing mm-hmm. to those in need in West Philadelphia. So she's got an amazing vision on how to house people. As you know, we are dealing with somewhat of a housing crisis in mm-hmm. the city of Philly. Mm-hmm. Rents are astronomical. It's in some situations just unaffordable for the median income for the area. And so with that said, yes, if you are in need of housing, you can give Keys and Deeds Realty a call.
There you go.
At 610-616-0012. And for our property management division, you are going to press option 3 to speak with myself with regard to available rentals that we have at this time.
Yes, working with Keys and Deeds was amazing. I'm a novice, so I really had to lean on their expertise, in particular, Dawn Harris' expertise in walking me through this process. But I'm super excited. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, Keys and Deeds.
You're very welcome.
For your help. I'm looking forward to the next one. Really looking forward to being able to help some people, that are looking for housing that, might be in a shelter right now, and mm-hmm. are just down on their luck for the moment. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to give back to the community in that regard. So
yes,
stay
and it's
tuned.
Exciting when you have someone who really does care. Like I have to. Lisa wants to give everybody the world. Uh-huh. And I do have to pull her back at times. Like, she really wants to make the property beautiful. It really already is a nice property. Mm-hmm. But she wants to make sure that future tenants are well taken care of and in a quality house with great amenities. Yeah. And so if you know her, then you know that any properties that she does have available, and we're looking forward to continue to watching her portfolio grow, mm-hmm. That you want to keep her top of your list, of course.
Thank you, Dawn.
Because you would have a landlord who cares.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And just based on what I've seen, unfortunately, there are people that will offer housing to that, that demographic. And what they're offering them is disgraceful.
Oh, yeah.
They're mm-hmm. just... And I feel like they are taking advantage of them. They're already you know, might be low or middle income, but that doesn't mean they don't want to walk into a beautiful space.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
They want to walk into something that makes them feel good. So that's what I want to offer.
Mm-hmm. But
because I've gone to some places and I'm like, you're paying how much?
Right.
And this is where you're living?
Mm-hmm.
This is where you are?
Mm-hmm.
No way. Yeah. I have been shocked.
Yeah.
So I am super excited.
I'm excited for anybody that has the pleasure of becoming a tenant.
Yes. I'm excited. All right.
All right.
So back to Sarita and the CPR.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what's next for you, ma'am?
What is next? I am in the process of implementing some additional services.
Mm-hmm.
One of the services I'll wait for, but I'm in the process of going into the direction of caretakers. So a caretaker, you are caring for your mom, your dad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stay within the adult room, and you just need a break. So just
so like respite?
Private duty, yes.
Okay,
private duty respite.
Okay.
What does respite mean? What does that stand for? Is that an acronym?
No, it's a word.
Okay,
respite is where, like you said, you sometimes the parents might need a break. They're going on vacation,
mm-hmm.
So we provide respite too, mm-hmm. And they'll call and say, can somebody come for the weekend?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want services like
got you
permanent, mm-hmm. But they just need a break.
It's like a kennel.
Yeah.
Okay.
A kennel. What?
But with good care. With etiquette for his health.
Got it. No, do you plan on doing any more traveling nurse projects or?
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm still going to stay open to that process.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we did the nurse boot camp on March 2nd.
Yes.
And, oh, my God.
Amazing, was it amazing?
Amazing, amazing.
I saw it.
I did that class with Nurse Karima. It's a really good feeling. That's
mm-hmm.
like, it's a really good feeling. Like I told them, I know what it's like to be a nursing student
mm-hmm.
and just... It's you get out of nursing school and you're just thrown into the real world, and
mm-hmm.
it's sometimes can be very ugly. The people that you think are there to advocate for you, they are not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you have someone come in to help nursing and you bully them or you don't precept them adequately.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot to take on.
Yeah.
It's a lot to take on. So,
what are some of the things that you taught in the nursing boot camp? Or did you already touch on that before?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
No. So the things we talked about, definitely advocating,
mm-hmm.
not only for the patient, but also yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you cannot adequately advocate for a patient if you're scared to call the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, go up the chain of command for situations. So we talked about that. We talked about, we gave them the opportunity to, you know, just to vent and
mm-hmm.
just get some things off of their chest that's just for in that room. And that was another reason why, like, people had it. I had people, someone called me from California.
Wow.
Accent. And I was just like,
oh, that's amazing. So can you do you can do virtual classes as well?
They were asking for virtual and alive. I'm actually talking to Karima. We're going to do a live, but it would be not as to what we were doing because
mm-hmm.
I want it to be a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of things that happen within nursing school
mm-hmm.
that I'm pretty sure a lot of parents are not aware of. The best way to say this, you need that community.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not want to do a lot of taping. You know, we did get a couple of pictures here and
right.
there, but I did not want to. I wanted to give them the opportunity to be able to talk. And then I wanted to talk as well. We
right.
shared, Karima and I also shared our experiences with, you know, some hard situations
mm-hmm.
that we had to go through in regards to whether nursing instructors, nursing school, being in the real world of nursing,
mm-hmm.
it can It can be really hard. So.
I think it's great. So, Sarita, can you please tell us the name of your company and how people can get in touch with you to sign up for some of these classes?
Mm-hmm. So, Advocates First Health. You can find me on Instagram as Advocates_First_Health. I'm also on Facebook as Advocate First Health, but usually I'm more...
IG.
On IG.
Mm-hmm. You see me knowing the
IG.
You can the gram. Oh, sorry.
You can also contact me at 267-225-3022. And for people that like to use emails, info@advocatesfirsthealth.com.
Can you repeat the phone number again, please?
267-225-3022.
And Dawn Harris, how can people get in touch with Keys and Deeds Realty?
Yes, you can give us a call at 610-616-0012. As I'm saying that, I'm hearing Eb from last week saying pause. Pause, because I said it so fast. So let me do it again. 610-616-0012. We're on all social medias, Keys and Deeds Realty, and you can also visit our website, keysanddeeds.com.
Okay, great. And this is Lisa Robinson, founder and CEO of My Independence at Home. If you or a loved one are in need of home care, please give us a call, 215-921-2277. Sarita, Dawn, yes. Any final words, thoughts of advice, things of that nature that you want to share with the audience? It could be about real estate, of course, about CPR, you know, your goals and all that kind of stuff.
Yes. So as follow-up to a matter that I discussed on last week's show, mm-hmm. as it related to the way commissions would be handled mm-hmm. moving forward, I do, and I'll give you information on this, additional information by next week. I will be hosting a forum to mm-hmm. cover the proposed settlement that the National Association of Realtors, NAR, has put forth before the Supreme Court, or Department of Justice, I think, is handling it, as far as settling this matter. So we don't have a lot of time. If you missed last week's show, I'll be sure to give Lisa and Reggie all the information that you'll need.
And you can always come back on.
Yeah, interested in joining this forum so that you have an opportunity to have your questions answered, be properly educated on what all these headlines mean, and I can kind of calm or ease the tension mm-hmm. that seems to be taking place with regard to this hot topic. But in the meantime, if you wanted to give me a call, if you can't wait until next month's forum, you can always reach out to our office. And again, that number is 610-616-0012. In the event that you're looking to either purchase or sell property and you're just curious to know right now, what do all these headlines mean? Dawn, can you give me the information so I can mm-hmm. make sound decisions? That's the number that you want to call, 610-616-0012.
So you think your forum's going to be live or it's going to be like virtual?
I'm going to do live. I want people to be in front of me.
Right.
And so depending on one's ability to make it there, like if someone can't make it out to the live mm-hmm. forum and you prefer virtual, I do not mind scheduling a virtual as well. I just want to make sure that everyone is as educated as
education.
Possible so you can make informed decisions.
Education mm-hmm. is the key. Mm-hmm. Ms. Roberts?
Learn CPR. Please learn CPR. It may possibly save your life, mm-hmm. save a loved one's life, learn Stop the Bleed. There's also a website. It's called www.stopthebleed.org. Mm-hmm. You can go on that website and look for a class. A lot of classes are free.
Okay.
Put in your zip code, get a class.
Now, do you offer these classes as a group, like to companies? If a company wanted to offer that training to employees, would you do that?
Yes.
Okay.
For a small fee.
Yes, of course. Listen, it's worth the payment if you can save a life.
And can I just say, we're about to wrap up by now. Sarita is so animated. Oh, God, like she'll stress you out. Are we allowed to talk about that?
Yeah,
the flashlights, making it look like sirens are
right.
on you.
Yes.
And she really has you in a panic to make sure that you get the best training, the best simulated training.
You are going to be, you'll be surprised. You're going to be calm. That's the best way to work. I'm going to push you through that level where you just.
Do you do active shooter trainings? No. I need an active shooter trainer.
Lord. That's sad, that's the world we live in. But that's what I'm saying. Like, for schools, they need Stop the Bleed because that is the reality, unfortunately.
Absolutely. So. Stop the Bleed, CPR. Now, when are your classes? Do you have a schedule or people
They're
just
not
call
scheduled.
You?
I just pretty much, like, work around my primary schedule.
Okay.
Work schedule.
And you come to them or we go to you?
I can come to them.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Awesome. And they get a certificate?
Stop the Bleed, yes, you get a certificate.
I am the proud recipient of a Stop the Bleed certificate.
So am I.
So is Alexander, you know, my trusted assistant. Yes.
Oh, 3 minutes? Okay, we have 3 minutes. Okay, well, this has been very informational. Tyler, baby Tyler, you have anything you want to add?
Get me out of here.
We're going to probably do some CPR before the day's out.
Oh, poor baby Tyler. Well, this has been great. Sarita, you do an amazing job. Dawn talks about how giving I am. This one right here has a heart of gold and also wants to make a difference in the community. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you for
putting these classes together and to help educate people. Dawn.
Yes.
It's a triangle.
Thank you for helping me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for
John Bartram.
Oh, yes.
Keys and Deeds. Really, I saw you at John Bartram.
Yes. We love Bartram students. Yes, we do.
And Dawn also has a heart of gold. So thank you for all that you do.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, making a big difference in the real estate industry.
We're here to change the world.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Because who runs the world? Who runs the world?
We do.
Baby Tyler. Baby Tyler runs the world today.
All right, everyone. This you're listening to the Empowerment Zone. Many thanks to Sarita Roberts for sharing information on CPR, for Dawn Harris for sharing information about real estate. This is Lisa Robinson, founder and CEO of My Independence at Home. If you or someone you know are in need of home care, please give us a call, 215-921-2277. This was great to have an all-women show.
To wrap up Women's History Month,
Women's History Month. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Reggie will probably be back in April because I told him he can't come on anymore in March. Okay. So do we have one more Thursday?
I believe we do.
One more Thursday.
There is one more Thursday.
So Reggie, if you're listening, which I know you are.
Don't come back next Thursday.
Don't come back. We're going to have another all women show.
All right.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
All righty. Have a great day, everyone. Enjoy this
beautiful day.
It's kind of chilly though, but enjoy the weather and we will see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Things that's held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our show together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Don't you let nothing, nothing
stand in your way.
I want y'all to listen, listen
to every word I say, every word I say.
Ain't no stopping us now.
No,
we're holding up.
negative vibe. And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going. They don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our show together. Gonna polish up our